Blog Talk Radio.
BYGP family and guests, thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Ashley Goodman, and I'll be hosting tonight's BYGP Locker Room Show. Tonight, I have with me Mr. Nick Harris. Nick was a standout athlete growing up and was a definite threat to any offense at the college level. He then was drafted in 2009 in the fifth round by Buffalo Bills. If you guys at any point have any questions for Nick, call in at 310-807-5195. So let's get Nick on the line here. Hey, Nick, you there?
Hi, what's going on?
Good, good, good. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty well. And yourself?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I'm glad you had, you know, some time to chat with us. I know you're busy with work in and out and stuff, so we're really, really appreciative to have you on.
No worries. No, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, let's get started. We're going to get this nice and nice, short and sweet, nice and efficient. So tell us where it all began, where you grew up, you know, how you got started with football. Just give myself and our audience a little background.
I'm originally from Alexandria, Louisiana. I grew up, you know, in the down south, very hot, mm-hmm. humid. I took a liking to football at a very, very young age. You know, just watching television and wanting to play the game. I've been playing since, mm-hmm. I was age of five. Been playing every fall up until recent. Playing football ever since I was five, and you know, just every year, you know, rec league, prep league, and then going up to middle school and high school and then finally off to college and into the pros as well.
Absolutely. Well, then, was there any other hobbies that you had that you were interested in, any other sports or, you know, other activities?
Yeah, I played it all. I played in the League World Series when I was 13 in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. I played in that was baseball. I played basketball as well up until my junior year of high school, and I ran track up until my junior year of high school as well.
Okay, so you were a well-rounded athlete. I mean, pretty much excelled in everything that you did within athletic-wise. Do you feel like today's athletes are focusing too soon on one specific sport in hopes to just be recognized for that sport?
I mean, at the end of the day, it depends on if they're good at what they do. Then, mm-hmm. I would say try to focus on what you can. I think that the grassroots area of it, I would say yes. You know, they got young kids only focusing on football when they're only eight. Now, I would say that he has a lot of great athletes that can play multi-sports, i.e. the Charlie Wards, i.e. the Nate Robinsons, i.e. the LeBron Jameses, that could have played,
mm-hmm.
football, multi-sport athletes, you know, that could have done it all. And I think that at the end of the day, you give the kid the opportunity when it's their time to decide what it is they want to play, when they want to play it.
Absolutely. That's a good point. It definitely has to be, you know, a kid is going to be wanting to want to excel in that sport. So that is a very good, very good point that you made right there. Now, going into high school, I mean, you were playing outstanding. You know, I mean, you were highly ranked as a safety in high school with ESPN.com. ranked you at number 11, Scout.com ranked you at number 14, and then College Football News had you at number 7 in the nation. Did that attention take away from any focus on your academics or, you know, bring any negative aspects to your life?
I graduated valedictorian in my class, so no. Not nothing academically whatsoever. nothing academically
whatsoever. Yeah, that definitely clears it up right there.
Yeah, so no, I was very much so enamored with making sure that I knew academically and scholastically that I was going to be the person I needed to be, whether I had to play football or not. Football to me just took off a little bit faster. Like I said, I had academic scholarships as well, but it was an opportunity for me to showcase my ability, and I loved the game of football. So whenever I got to high school, you know, like I said, and that was a trying time within itself. In Louisiana, there was, you know, they have a situation where they bus or transport minority kids to a majority area, so they call it MTM. So that's what I did. I applied for that and got approved from a minority area African American to a majority, you know, Caucasian area, and played there because I knew that I wanted to play football at a professional level, at a collegiate level as well. And I knew that was only opportunity that I was going to have.
Okay, so you early on you already knew, you already had this vision that you were going, you know, all the way.
Right.
So then,
not necessarily all the way, but I knew that I wanted to go to college and play football. Yes.
Okay. So then, with all, you know, the recognition and the outstanding abilities that you had, you know, did you feel any pressure from the outside coaches or, you know, other players at any point of your life?
Well, I hadn't lost the ability. I still have it. I just don't have the opportunity to showcase it, i.e. because coaches aren't calling or teams don't have a necessary need at the moment. So, but I think that I made the best of my opportunities that I had.
Absolutely. And that's all you can do is to, you know, prep for what you can and then, you know, let what it
everything
is
else take care of itself.
Exactly, and then just be ready, but make sure you're just ready for that time to come. So with
right.
that, did you when you were being, you know, recruited, you had over 60 schools looking at you, trying to get you. Did you and your family, you know, feel overwhelmed with that much attention, or did you feel like you had a solid, you know, a solid grasp on making the right decision?
I took 100% of the onus on myself. So my family, you know, they were implemental in the support system, but they were not implemental in decision-making. They were not implemental in anything else, not because they didn't want to, but because I wouldn't allow that, because I didn't want them to, you know, whether I succeeded or failed, I didn't want them to feel as though that they had to feel a certain type of way, you know, if it was one way or the other. Ultimately, I took all the onus 100% on myself. That way I made, you know, the decisions to go wherever it is I wanted to go, and then they just followed. So, like I said, I was hospitalized 2 weeks before my signing day when I went to Oklahoma. And, you know, I had, like, double pneumonia and, you know, was pretty much almost on my deathbed. I literally woke up the morning of signing day and chose to go to Oklahoma.
Wow. That's a interesting story right there. I mean, I'm glad you're okay, but that's definitely, you know, a wild ride right before signing day to make your choice. So then you ended up deciding to go to Oklahoma, to OU. What was the reasoning, you know, on that? What made you feel like that was the place to be for you?
Well, I made my top five, Oklahoma, LSU, Texas A&M, Nebraska, and Michigan. And okay. I had a solid, and before, you know, the hospitalization, I had a solid commit to Michigan. You know, I wanted to go there. I wanted to, you know, just pretty much get away and understand that I didn't, you know, I just wanted to, you know, experience a different culture. Leading up until that, with the illness of myself, my grandmother got terminally ill as well. I felt like I needed to be closer to home. And with that being said, you know, I chose to go to Oklahoma. Everyone asked, why didn't you go to LSU? Well, because at the time Coach Saban took a job, he left. LSU had a vacancy of the head coach, and he left and went to Miami.
Okay. So ended up, you went to OU. Did you know, I mean, it sounds like you were – well above your years and you knew exactly what you were getting into by all means, but did you know and understand the responsibility once you signed your name on that dotted line to play for OU? Did you know what it consisted of? Were you prepared for that?
I knew that the only thing that I knew was that I could not come back home. I could not come back home for, you know, for whatever reason. This is an opportunity that was presented to me, and it's an opportunity that I earned. And I knew that I was going to make the best opportunity. So, like I said, I pretty much went into the situation blindly. I knew no one at the University of Oklahoma outside of my host, who was Rodney Poole at the time. He ended up taking this opportunity and went into the league. So at that moment, I knew no one. And I got in there, and I made my own niche. You know, I became the president of my own organization. I graduated top 3% of my class. within 3 years in the medical field, and I played top-notch football. You know, I put my head to the grindstone and did everything that I needed to do to do it the right way.
Wow, Nick. I mean, seriously, that right there is hands down really, really amazing. Not to take away, but what you just said right there and the accomplishments and just the drive and focus that you did have, I mean, hands down to you on taking care of business and getting, you know, yourself to that point. Now when you entered the college scene, you know, it sounds like you were focused, you knew exactly what you wanted, and you did that. Was there at any point, some transition period during your freshman year that you had to get accustomed to or you just weren't expecting? You know, tell us, you know, for young athletes wanting to get to that level, tell us some things that maybe they should be aware of.
Understand that there's no one that's going to hold your hand. When you get to the collegiate level, you're on your own. Your professors aren't your parents. Your parents aren't your professors. Mm-hmm. When you have to understand that you have pretty much, when you get to that point, you've moved out of your mother's home, your father's home, your parents' home, then you have arrived, and now the onus is on you to whether you succeed or fail once you get to that level. Ultimately, with myself, I just looked at the situation. I just made sure that I wanted to do everything I possibly could do to succeed in any aspect that I possibly could.
Mm-hmm. So with what you just said, how did you balance your on the field with football and your academics? Tell us some ways that young athletes can you know be ready, whether or not it's writing a list. You know, what did you do to prepare for that?
Time management and align yourself with your advisors. Your advisors are pretty much going to put you. They're the people that are going to put you on the fast track in order, you know, and put you, lead you in the right direction to what degree field you want. Because ultimately, you don't know once you get there what degree you want. Manage your time, understand, get your classes together, and then once you get your classes together, then everything else is second nature. Football is football, whether you're at the collegiate level or professional level. I mean, it still stays the same within those white lines. It's running and tackling and throwing. So, you know, don't make it more complicated. As an athlete, primarily in the football realm, don't make it more complicated than what it actually is.
Very good, very good. That's very good advice right there. I hope you guys are taking this all in because Nick is definitely speaking the truth right now. Now, Nick, you came out of the gate starting as a true freshman along with Reggie Smith as a free safety, and you guys had major success on the field. Looking back, I mean, now speaking with you and just how you are, do you wish that you had taken that first year as a redshirt, or do you feel like, you know, everything happened and you wouldn't change anything?
No, I wouldn't change anything. I had the best experience I ever had at the University of Oklahoma. I would never want to redshirt. I wasn't even in the back of my mind. Ultimately, I was on the plan to get out of there in 3 years. I wanted to get my degree in 3 years and graduate and go to the draft in 3 years. I did the degree part, but I ended up banging my shoulder up, and I had to have shoulder surgery, and that wouldn't allow me to go into the draft that year, the 2008 year.
How did that affect you mentally? Were you, you know, sometimes, you know, working with athletes, they can get into a funk with injuries. How did you handle?
I have to attribute my coaches to everything. You know, some players get into a situation where, you know, your position may be up for jeopardy at this, that, and the other. They made me rest assured that, okay, cool, it's no problem, Nick. You are the leader on this team. You're the leader on this defense. And once you come back, you're going to be that guy. And your position is not in jeopardy. And that's pretty much what happened. Like I said, I missed the spring, came back in the fall, played top-notch football, ended up getting All-America and playing the national championship game. Unfortunately, we didn't win, but, I mean, at the end of the day, it was an experience within itself.
Absolutely. So then who would you say mentor-wise? I mean, it sounds like, you know, your family was behind you 100%, but mentor-wise within college, was there any coaches or professors, teammates that you felt like you really looked up to and you would take their, you know, advice?
At the end of the day, my grandmother was the architect of my success. You know, she is responsible for any success in which I've had. But a mentor that I can say was a minister at the university, Pastor Coleman, and he's a minister at Fifth Street Baptist Church up there. But he taught one of our African American studies classes, and he just pretty much instilled within me that at the end of the day is like you're still going to be who you are. And in this world where you can be anyone, be yourself. And that's probably one of the best things that I took from the whole experience. You know, I just always wanted to be myself. You know, I'm extremely transparent.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So if you let me ask you this: if you didn't have football, what do you think you would be doing? You know, career wise.
Motivational speaking, or probably playing baseball.
Okay.
Yeah.
So did you have offers to play baseball?
No. Like I said, whenever football pretty much took off, and when it took off, I pretty much stopped everything else.
Okay. So once that train started rolling with football, pretty much everything else took the back seat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. I made the decision for myself. Go ahead.
Oh no, you were saying you made the decision to let everything.
Yeah,
I was like,
at the end of the day, it's like I have a full paid scholarship to play football, which I love. So this is what I'm going to pursue.
Yeah, absolutely. So then you did get drafted in 2009. You entered into the NFL draft and was picked up by the Bills in the fifth round. Tell us about that transition. Was, you know, did you think, I mean, you had so much success, high school, college. Did you think that the NFL was just going to be another, you know, transition that you were going to kill and, you know, you're going to be an outstanding pro athlete?
I mean, ultimately, you if you don't have that mentality, then you won't last long anyway. But I definitely thought that I was going to be awesome and very, very good in what I did. But like I said, it was a bunch of stuff that went through with my whole process. Like I said, with Senior Bowl and NFL Combine, you know, and I left. We had a long season. I was kind of banged up.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really have time to recover when you get into that situation and going to the draft. And there was talk about, you know, my position change and people didn't want me to play safety. They wanted me to play linebacker and this, that, and the other. So at the end of the day, it was like one of those situations where mentally it kind of messed with me. But once I took a hold of it and I was like, okay, cool. Well, you want to change positions? Well, I'm going to excel at this as well. That's what I did. Unfortunately, I suffered a couple of injuries to my knees, and you know, gratefully, I've 100% came back from those, and I'm training right now currently. But you know, the opportunity isn't mine to give myself. You know, I have to pretty much
absolutely. Get it underway. Yeah, well, it sounds like your mindset is in the right place, and all you got to do is, you know, stay ready and keep that focus on that end goal. So then with that. Did you feel, you know, that, I mean, ultimately, yes, you wouldn't have wanted the injuries to occur and, you know, to be released by the Bills, but did you already have a game plan of if that did happen, if football didn't pan out the way you had planned, what your fallback would be?
Yeah, my fallback would always be my degree, but I never that early, no, never that early to be released within my first year. Never, you know, never in my wildest dreams. Like I said, it caught me completely 100% off guard. And that's one thing for the young guys, the young people that are out there who have just gotten drafted or who aspire to be drafted. Always have a plan in place because you never know. And tomorrow is never promised. It really is. I'm a shining example of that. You know, but at the end of the day, it's like, you know, if you always pursue something that you love and give it 100% because you never know if you're going to play tomorrow.
Absolutely. That's great advice, guys. And like Nick is saying, you just have to be ready and be prepared for what you're driving for and what your ultimate goal is. But just make sure that you have game plans, plan B and plan C and everything. Just line up yourself to be successful. Now tell us, you did major in kinesiology, correct? What were you thinking about doing with that major?
I wanted to train people post trauma. My specialization would be post trauma. I wanted to rehab people to get them back onto the working field, back on the basketball court, back on the baseball diamond. So that's pretty much, I wanted to see people progress on a daily basis, and you know, I pretty much wanted to have a hand in having people get back to where they were. So I always stayed around athletics.
I gotcha. So then, do you think coaching, maybe strength and conditioning, will be kind of like your go to, maybe your next career?
Not at 27. Maybe at 37,
okay.
But not at 27.
Okay. I can feel that. I can feel that. So now, you know, you're still driving, you're still training for that call. what are you doing, you know, in the meantime, career-wise, and what are you doing besides training to be ready?
Like I said, yeah, I'm training. I said, every day I train. I'm out at Carson Home Depot Center with Exos. I'm also, like
okay.
I said, I'm also training people. So I'm a personal, I'm a certified personal trainer as well. Also on the side, that you know, I've done a couple of movies, commercials. So I'm doing the commercial and print work. So
okay.
working on commercials and movies and this and the other. So I mean, you know, just pretty much taking advantage of the Los Angeles database, so to speak.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, like, what age do you train? Do you train youth or do you train, you know, other professionals?
All ages. I train from pretty much 8 until 80. Yeah.
Okay. So everything in between. Well, then at the end of this, you'll have to give us the best way to contact you guys, and then our audience can have that information, whether or not, you know, you're 8 or 80, you know, Nick Harris is your guy to train you. So then how do you feel like football has helped you as a businessman, as, you know, as in other aspects of not just on the field but off the field as well?
Football has aided me in making so many contacts with people that I know, and you know, people love good people, and the people love good feel good stories. A lot of people have gravitated towards myself because of my story. Also, football has pretty much laid a baseline and a grassroots level to let me know that at the end of the day, nothing is promised. Everything that I do now, like, I'm not necessarily saying that I took everything for granted to begin with, but everything that I do now, it's more of a heightened notion for me to understand that I should do everything to the best of my ability and best of my capabilities.
Absolutely. So then do you think, you know, at the high school age level and that college, I mean, networking, I can't, you know, I tell everyone to network because it's so important on who you know and everything of that nature. Do you feel like football has, you know, if football is another platform to help you out with you know, knowing the right people?
Yeah.
Do you think for young athletes, do you see young athletes taking that opportunity enough?
No, I don't see them enough. I think that a lot of young athletes try to lean more so on their talent, but you got to understand, when you get to the collegiate level and professional level, there's someone that's going to be better than you. So my suggestion is brand yourself. You know what I mean? Always make sure that you have a smile on your face, and always make sure that you're welcoming and a warm individual, because you have to brand yourself. And understand that nobody's going to do this for you. The world owes you nothing. You know, and that's one of the hardest lessons to get across to young guys. You know,
yeah.
They think that, oh, you know, I've been through this and I've been through that, and I'm going to, you know, attend it. No, the world doesn't owe you anything. At the end of the day, you know, you got to get out and go get it for yourself.
Absolutely. That's great information and great advice right there, Nick. Now give us I'll end with this. Give us two pieces, you know, of advice, one or two, that you feel that, you know, as a young athlete that you were given that helped you reach to where you are now, or advice that you wish you had gotten, you know, at the high school level.
Okay, that was an easy one. The first one is always understand that you are never as good as they say you are, and you are never as bad as they say you are. And secondly, always remember that the night is always darkest right before dawn. So you're going to have some bad days. You're going to have the worst days of your life, but you always remember that. You know, there's never going to be sunshine without rain, you know, and vice versa.
Who told you those pieces of advice?
My grandmother.
Okay. I'm liking it. I definitely like it. I think that's a great ending point. And Nick, tell us how people can get a hold of you.
Most people can go to my Instagram handle. It's at NickHarris5, and that's NIC, last name Harris, HARRIS, number 5. Or you can email me at officialnickharris@gmail.com. That's OFFICIAL. Nick, NIC with no K, last name Harris, HARRIS@gmail.com.
Great. Well, guys, 8 or 80 years old, Nick Harris is your guy to train you, to get you right, to look good, to get you, you know, ready, fast, and furious. So thank you, Nick, for joining us. It was a pleasure to speak with you, and I'm glad that you're still training and you're still keeping that drive going.
No worries. I thank you, and I thank you for having me.
Great, great. So we will talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. So, guys, we hope you got a lot out of listening to Nick. Please, please, at all means, take this information in that we're giving you and make sure that you're utilizing this to help you guys on and off the field. We have some great things going on with BYGP right now, so please check us out at www.beforeyougopro for more information. And if you guys have not checked out our newest book, Before You Go Pro, you definitely have to get that and read that. It's definitely a great, solid information book for young athletes and parents. On Thursday, tune in at 6:30 p.m. Pacific time. We will be speaking with Mr. Marcus Harris. You guys won't want to miss this type of information that you only get here at BYGP. This is Ashley Goodman signing off with BYGP and the rest of the BYGP team. Preparation is key to reach your peak. Have a good night, guys.